while others failed to hear his voice. All the boys that sat in the Sunday school class with me. And when I had 50 years of the Lord's work, and they had a gathering in Ireland to thank God that he had kept me for 50 years since I was commended, they presented me with a Bible. And the man that gave it to me was my old Sunday school teacher. He was 97 years of age. And he came up on the platform and he said, on behalf of the assembly, I want to give you this Bible. And then afterwards he said, do you know something? I prepared a speech for 3 weeks and I forgot it when I got up. Well, I said, don't be dismayed, for I prepared a speech for it too for a month, and my wife went over it and helped me to do it. And I never spoke one word that we prepared. So we're all the same. Sometimes you just speak off the cuff. And so, you know, all the boys in that Sunday school class, the most of us went to World War II. And many of them never came back. And apart from one that sat there, I never knew of any of them ever to come to know Christ as their Savior. Why was I made to hear his voice? And as that prodigal would look back to the far country, he would say, I was in that far country, and I remember from whence I came. This would instill into his heart a desire to enjoy the place where God had brought him. When Naomi returned from the far country, she came like the prodigal. She came back. She said, I went out full. We sing the words of the blind singer sometimes, and I often wonder that she would pen these words, Fanny Crosby, when she wrote, now none but Christ can satisfy, none other name for me. But there's a verse in it goes like this, I tried the broken cisterns, Lord, but the waters failed. Some of us tried things in the world, and we tried sport, some have tried sport, and some have tried pleasure, and this prodigal went with harlots and drunkards, and went to excesses of riot and spent all his substance on riotous living. He was in a famine in that far country. And he remembered the way the world treated him. When his pockets were full, he had many companions. But when he was hungry, he was in the fields, a wretched specimen, seeking to work with his hands to meet his need. A young man in Ireland rebelled against the gospel. He left home. He came to Vancouver. He couldn't find a job. He ate out of bins and trash and was just a bum on the street. But he finally got a job, and the man with whom he was employed was in the assembly. And he said to him, there are gospel meetings starting in the gospel hall where I go. And he said, the speaker is an Irishman. And when he heard my name, he said in his heart, I ran away from hearing him, and here he's out here. Didn't want to hear me when he was in Ireland, but you know, he came, and he heard the gospel, and that prodigal boy was saved. What a delight it is to see the prodigal coming back. I was singing that hymn the other Lord's Day, and it after all the years since I was a prodigal boy, it's a long time ago, but when they sang that hymn, because the first hymn I really sang when I got the Believer's Hymn Book, when I went to the morning meeting the first time, the old Believer's Hymn Book was there, and on it was, do not remove from the seat. And I removed it. I stole the Brethren's Hymn Book. First day I was there. But later on I helped them to compile the supplement. When that time came, little did I ever think they would ask me to look over their supplement when they were adding it up. But you know, whenever I got that hymn book and sat in the park the first Sunday and opened it, I read these words. Once as prodigals we wandered in our folly far from thee. And I read those lovely words, at thy table is my place. What a delight that was. Dear brethren, let us never forget the grace of God that reached us. And the world that once we knew is 10 times worse than when we were in it. And that we might never go back to the beggarly things of a world that's under judgment. There's a lovely verse in Romans 5. We joy in God, by whom we have received the reconciliation. This is the thing that will be ballast in the vessel of that boy as he starts out on his pathway. A new part of his life received home, and he always remembers, the world has nothing left for me, and I was there, and I'm going to enjoy the things into which I've been brought. Now the next thing that would preserve him along his pathway, and it will preserve us as well, was the sweet kiss that he got on the day he came. The Father's kiss. You know, the kisses of the Bible are all touching. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, the kiss of communion with the Lord Jesus. Barzillai was rewarded for all that he had served David in with a kiss. The king kissed Barzillai. Dear brethren, we have already had the kiss of communion today if we were at the Lord's Supper. We enjoyed the kisses of his mouth. Sweet, the sweetness of his words. And listen, when we go to the Bema, we're going to have the kiss of the king. I hope every one of us will have the king's kiss. Old Barzillai, he served David in the day of his rejection. And he sent sustenance and fellowship for David's servants. It was not forgotten. The king kissed him. The kiss of reward. But the sweetest kiss. And there are kisses that we receive in life that are precious and tender. The last kiss my mother gave me as she was dying. And I wiped away her last tear. I remember that kiss. And the kiss that my wife gave me the day 50 years ago when we were married. I remember that kiss. And the kiss of my grandchildren. A sweet. A boy of 19. I got a sweeter kiss than the bride or the mother, the grandchild. The father's kiss. As I stood in rags defiled, as you did, the day of your conversion. And we got the kiss of forgiveness. I hope everyone here has had that kiss. When you knew the sweetness of his love, the Father's kiss. I've never forgotten it. I don't think anyone can forget the day of conversion. Paul went back to it right at the end of his journey. Son of God who loved me. Christ Jesus came into the world in his last epistle but one, he said. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And he said, I got the kiss. I was the chief of sinners. Got the kiss. You know, these are the things that keep us humble. One of the great things that we have to watch, because in every bosom there's pride. The peacock is there in every bosom. Rise up. When the Queen of Sheba was leaving the palace of Solomon, when she walked through his garden, she saw a bird and an animal. About his garden were peacocks. And in that garden were apes. Apes and peacocks. Do you know what that indicated? It indicated that there was pride in Solomon's heart. He adorned his gardens with peacocks. And also, he aped the world and multiplied horses. There's a danger of us allowing the aping of the world. Many assemblies have begun to ape the religious gatherings from whence we came out long ago. And in every heart, the danger of pride. You know, if God has blessed us, any of us here, with wealth, with talent, if God has bestowed any gift on any of us, God forbid that I should boast, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That hymn always touches me. Don't know how it touches you, but it always touches me. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and poor contempt and all my pride. Our leader was the most gifted. Our leader was the most talented. Our leader was the greatest speaker. Never man spake like him. Our leader was the wisest. And our leader was the lowliest that ever moved here. I am meek and lowly in heart. Learn of me. Think of him with a towel and a basin. I know there are spiritual meanings, but he waited to see if one of them would take the lowly place. I, your Lord and Master, I, your Master and Lord, kneeling down at the feet of man to wash their feet. Oh, the lowliness of Christ. That's the one that we're supposed to emulate. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Try and aim at it in 1966. Try and show by your demeanor that you have a lowly spirit, a gracious spirit, a forgiving spirit. Don't harbor evil thoughts or envious thoughts in your mind. Think of what God has done for you. Live in the enjoyment of the Father's kiss. A prodigal would think, the world would beckon, because the old nature is there. And as he would think of what he received in that world, he would say, nay, world, I turn aside, though thou seem fair and good. Friendly outstretched arm of thine is stained in Jesus' blood. Can I take part with those who nailed him to the tree? And where his name is never praised, is that the place for me? Not our place. And then he would think of the love of the Father. When he came up the road, and he bent before him and he said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, not worthy to be called thy son. And the Father kissed him many times, smothered him in kisses. And it made him more concerned. When he received the kiss, he said, make me as one of thy hired servants. I'm not worthy. Jacob said after 28 years, I am not worthy of the least of all thy mercies and thy truth, which thou hast made known to thy servant. Ballast in the vessel. Live in the enjoyment of the Father's kiss. But he also would look upon what he was wearing. Great difference between those rags defiled by sin and what he's wearing now. The best robe in the Father's house. A robe of salvation. A robe of acceptance. A robe that was free. A robe that fitted him perfectly. A robe, as he moved in it, showed the dignity of sonship. A ring that showed his link with the Father. And on those bare feet, soiled with sin and defilement, were shoes to walk. How beautiful are thy feet in shoes. We read in the song, wearing shoes to walk. In the Father's house, a robe that marks him out as a son. Will he soil his robe? Every time he'd look at that robe, he would say, this is the robe that I received to wear before the world. They would know that I had been received in the Father's house. You know, the day you were saved, he put the royal robe on, the wedding garment. Is there anyone here and you haven't on a wedding garment yet? How camest thou hither to this assembly, to this gathering, and you have not on the wedding garment? Every one of us saved here, we have the wedding garment. We're ready for the palace. We have the best robe, stripped in the garden by the power of sin and Satan. We were naked. Some of us had filthy rags of sin, and others had filthy rags of self-righteousness. All our righteousness are as filthy rags. For there was a day we received salvation as a gift. Best robe of heaven he bids thee put on. Or couldst thou be better arrayed? Walking, a garment always speaks of character. Walking before the world as one that wears the best robe. You'll bow your head to give thanks, won't you? In that restaurant. You'll acknowledge God before man, will you? Will we deny him like Peter? Fire. Will we confess in the school? I'm a Christian. Will you confess Christ in the office that you're a Christian? Will we confess his name before man? We used to sing when I was saved, I'm not ashamed to own my Lord or to defend his cause. How easy we're ashamed. We can talk when we're amongst our brethren. But to sweetly introduce the subject that we belong to another country, that our hopes are not here, our joys above, this is what really matters. Another thing he had, he loved to sing. When he came back, it wasn't the ballads of earth. He used to sing in an old hymn, do you love the hymns they taught you? Or are songs of earth your choice? And there's much singing in the world today, and much religious singing too. I want to say, I'm a lover of the old hymns of the faith. I love to sing in the gospel, those grand gospel hymns. They cannot be improved upon. I was invited to speak at a rest home some time ago. They were Wesleyans, Methodists. I got the hymn book. Do you know something? There wasn't one hymn in that book that mentioned the blood of Christ. All the hymns of Charles Wesley, and our meeting this morning opened in Culver City with a hymn of Charles Wesley, and can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? And here's a hymn book, and every song that mentioned the blood of Christ was erased. It's our delight to sing these beautiful hymns in the gospel. Do you know something? It's one of my greatest joys to sing the hymns of worship. The denominations know nothing of those hymns. The hymns of Sir Edward Denny. The hymns of Godley Chapman. The hymns of Mr. Darby. And is it so we shall be like thy son? What lovely words are these? I love those hymns. Whether it's the Believer's Hymn Book or the Hymns of Light and Love. These lovely songs that we sing. And so they heard the music, the song. A young man had cancer in his throat. He's a lovely singer. Before he went in to be operated on, he said, do you think I'll be able to sing when I have this operation? The surgeon said, it's very unlikely that you'll ever sing again. Well, he said, I would like to sing to you and to the nurses today before I'm operated on. You know what he sang? There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Soon a nobler, sweeter song I'll sing his power to save. No more with lisping, stammering tongue, conquering o'er the grave. It was his last song. Mr. Ferguson told me the story. He knew to be true. He died shortly after. Never sang again in this life. Oh, to sing as we journey to Zion, songs of Zion. And those songs that he heard the first day came. You know, the first day I sat in the back seat of the assembly, they sang hymns I had never heard in my life. And the first one they sang was this. I couldn't understand it years later in a Bible reading in Scotland. A man said we should never start the meeting singing about the resurrection. Well, I was only about 22 and I said, please, sir, can I speak? He said, you can. I said, the first time I ever heard brethren singing was about the resurrection. This is the hymn they sang. Rise, my soul, behold, 'tis Jesus. Jesus fills thy wondering eyes. See him now in glory seated where thy sins no more can rise. You know what I said that day? These will be the choir that I will embrace. These will be the people that I will walk with. These will be my friends while I'm here. And they have been. I can say today, I love the brotherhood. That takes in every Christian in the world. But I love the place where his honor dwelleth. May the Lord grant that we might appreciate what God has done for us and we might live it out in our lives with ballast in our vessel, for his name's sake.